Oh, good afternoon. Let's see. So, the plan for this week is to is kind of the core of the course. We're going to start looking at proofs. And let me just note that oops. There's a nice description of what writing proofs is like at the beginning of section 1.7. I encourage you to read that maybe more than once throughout the term, just to remind yourself of these facts. So see section 1.7, particularly just the four pages, pages 64 through 67. Just those four pages, I would recommend reading thoroughly. They're a good description. And their main point of those pages, and which I would like to indicate here, is that there's a pretty strong analogy between writing proofs and writing essays. And what we're working on here is kind of the mechanics of how to do it. And as with an essay, when you're kind of starting, you want to do it in a sort of formulaic way. To write a good essay, you still need an interesting idea, but you have a structure, and we're working on the structure. And we're working on the structure of proofs, and we'll be doing it in a fairly formulaic way. And then, once you get to be an expert, you can maybe vary a little bit, but the formula is kind of the main approach. And so I guess I'm just going to kind of get started. So the plan today is examples of, and then throughout the rest of the week, we'll talk about different basic architectures of proofs. So there's proofs by contradiction, proofs by contrapositive. There are various sort of architectures, but we'll start with the most basic direct proofs and just do some examples. So let me just start. But to do that, I'm going to need a little bit of framework so that I can have some setup in which I can do the proofs. And the setup I'm going to use is some basic number theory. So for that, I'm going to start with the definition as follows of even and odd integers. So an integer a. Is even. Of course, you have an idea of what it is, but having a nice clean way to write it out is very helpful when you're trying to write a proof, and that's what we need here. So is even if, and what we say is that if there is an integer n with a equal to 2 times n. So that's what it means to be even. And another way to say this part here right, using our notation, there is, so which quantifier am I going to use if I want to write it out in terms of quantifiers? Existential, exactly. So there exists n, and I could have set my universe to be z, or I could put it in here. Let me put it in here this time. And then the formula is exactly the same formula that we had before, a equals 2n. So you can write it out in words, or it can be written out in this first order logic notation. Okay, and so that's even, and of course odd is the opposite. So an integer is odd. If, and maybe I'll write it out in the quantifier notation this way, why not? So there exists n in z. And this time I want it to be 2n plus 1 so that it's not even. Okay, so those are the ways that I'm going to express even and odd. Okay, and so that then and that allows me to write down a claim and then try to prove it. And I'll try to prove it in this structure that we're going to aim for in this course. And so let me just start with what's a very easy theorem. And once again, just like an essay, it's not a complicated essay I'm writing now. I'm just trying to illustrate the structure. So if a is an odd integer, then A squared plus 1 is an even integer. Okay, so it's a very plausible. Okay, I hope you at least believe that it's true. But now I want to write out this way of expressing the fact that it's true. So proof. All right, so they're always going to start with the same structure. So I have something that I'm assuming if blah, 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 right? So this is a if. So actually, what's the structure of this? If I were to rewrite this in first order logic, how in propositional calculus, what kind of structure would this have? Yeah, exactly. It's got that implies structure, right? So this says P, and this is going to be my Q, and the if then is an arrow. So this is the type of structure that it has, right? A P implies Q. This is by far the most common structure of every theorem, is you have some fact over here, P, and you claim that it implies this second fact, Q. So this is the usual structure of a theorem. Okay, and this is the structure this one has. All right, and so the way that we almost always start is we will assume this beginning bit, and then at the end we're going to get this end bit. All right, so let's do that. So assume that A is an odd integer. Oop. There we go. Okay, and as usual in essays, I'm going to try to keep all my sentences complete. So I want nice complete sentences so that it's clear what's going on to the reader. All right, so assuming, okay, hence, now of course they're not really very beautiful sentences compared to some essayists, but they are clear, hopefully. So hence, there is, okay, well now I go back over to my definition here, right? So my definition says that if I have an odd integer, then I have this structure, okay? So that's what it says, that I have such an n. So let me write that in. Hence, there is an integer n with a equals 2n plus 1, right? That's what it means to be odd according to our definition over here, right? All right, and so then what are we interested in? We're interested in a squared plus 1, so we can just plug in a squared plus 1, and I can plug in what a is, which is 2n plus 1, square it and add 1, okay, and see what I get. And I can just do the algebra, and I'll end up with 4n squared plus 4n plus 1 plus 1, all right? That's what I get when I do the squaring. Okay, and now what's my goal? I look ahead a little bit, and I'm trying to show that this is going to be an even integer. That's my goal, right? And I also know that if I go back over here to my definition of being an even integer, I need to find something, some integer here, so that a is 2 times that integer, okay? Now, the thing to be careful of is this n and this n could be different n's, right? I just have to have some integer, right? So that's the key here. So here, can anyone see what a number is going to play the role of this n here in this sentence here? So the goal is that this should be an even. And the way I show it's even is that it's 2 times something, right? And what is it 2 times?
Would it be 2 times 2?
No, it's going to be, so no, I have to find some other thing here that this is 2, that I can put in here and still get an equality.
Oh, I see, okay.
So now is it clear what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, someone put it in the chat.
Oh, put it in the chat. Oh, you're right, someone did put it in the chat, but I hear you saying it now too. Yeah, that's right, yeah, so 2n squared plus 2n. Plus one. So does that make sense, everyone? So this is now 2 times something, right? And that's the something is right there. So that's what I wanted. Okay. All right, so let me write that in a permanent color here. So this is then equal to 2 times 2n squared plus 2n plus 1. Okay, and since that's an integer, 2n squared plus 2n plus 1 is an integer. Okay, then I'm where I'm going. So therefore, a squared plus 1 is an even integer. And I like to end these with QED, quadratus demonstratum. It's the Latin. Anyway, just as a little reminder that I'm at the end of my proof. Okay, any questions about the structure of this proof? Okay, I have some questions here. So several people got the right answer there. Do I have to prove it when? Yeah, so that's really, just like in essays, it's a question of just how much detail you feel is necessary for the reader. And the reader that one anticipates in this class is someone at approximately your level of mathematical background. That's who you should be targeting as your reader, maybe even a little less, but right around there. And so that is a question as to ask whether you would have to prove that's an integer or not. So in this case, I decided that to my taste, it was sufficiently clear that that was in fact an integer. Now I did state it so that the reader can at least think, oh yes, maybe I have to at least think about whether that's an integer, okay? But then they can convince themselves that it is. So there isn't a cut and dried answer to exactly how much detail is required. But actually, what you usually want is sort of some sort of uniformity. So if you put in a huge amount of detail in one spot and hardly in another spot, it makes the reader suspicious that you didn't follow what you were doing. Okay, so that is how I would do such a proof. Any other questions about that one? Yeah, it's Latin. Latin for that which was to be proved. Let me put it in a permanent color here. Okay, it means that this thing that I just wrote here is in fact what I was trying to prove. That's all it means, yeah. Okay, how did we prove it? So, okay, yeah, let's just run through the logic of what we did. So what we did was we showed that we computed this at a squared plus one, and I used the fact that it was odd by being able to write it this way as 2n plus 1 for some n. So there's where I used the fact that a was odd. And then I did a computation, and I found that when I computed, this a was 2 times something which is an integer. And why is it an integer? Because it's 2 times, it's a product of integers plus a product of integers plus an integer. And integers are closed under products and addition. So that's what happened in the background. I left that. But depending on the detail, you might want to put in more of an explanation of why that turns out to be an integer itself. Good questions. Okay, let me try a slightly more complicated one, because what I did here was I was faced with my theorem, and I just wrote a proof. That's not usually how you do it. Just like with essays, you don't usually just start writing at the beginning until you're done and you're done, unless it's something really trivial. Normally you do a lot of, you think out what are your main ideas, and then you assemble it and create an essay out of it. And the same thing with a proof. You usually sort of think through what are the approaches you're gonna use, and then you write down a proof separately. So you start with a sketch, well, actually you start with sort of playing around with things, then you come up with a sketch, and then you come up with a proof. And let me do an example where that makes more sense. This one was sufficiently straightforward that you really didn't have to do that. But most of the time one does, and it usually makes the proof a lot nicer for the reader. I prefer a nicer proof. Okay, so here's a more complicated one. Theorem. If X is a real number, with X squared less than or equal to 1, then X squared minus 7X is greater than minus 10. This is one of the examples in the text. Okay, so unlike the other one, this one shouldn't be quite as obvious just staring at it that that's going to be true. So one has to think a little bit about why it should be true and then turn that into a proof. Okay, so that's the plan. So the first thing to do with this one is to just play around with it and figure out why is it true. So one, why is it true? And a common approach here is to work sort of backward and forward from what you know and what you want until they meet in the middle. That's the usual approach. So work back and forth. Okay, so let's start doing that. So here's the ending point. And by the way, what's the logical structure of this? Yeah, it's once again, a P implies Q. Once again, that's by far the most common. So that's once again what it is, right? So, okay, and here's the Q that we're trying to imply. Okay, let's see. So does anyone have any thoughts about how one might start manipulating that so that it's easier to deal with? Yes, very good idea. I can move that 10 over there by adding 10 to both sides, and then step two, as pointed out also in the chat factor, and that is exactly the two steps I'm gonna do in that order. So let me do that. So we have x squared minus 7x greater than minus 10 is the same as x squared minus 7x plus 10 is greater than 0. And as pointed out, I can try to factor this. And it does factor x minus 2 times x minus 5. And you can either see that or you can play around with it. Yep, someone got it there in the chat. Various ways to figure out what those factors are. Okay, so this is, now we've got something. All right, and so we want this to be bigger than zero. So if I have a product of two things and I want them to be bigger than zero, what are the possibilities? So let's see, let me draw a little picture here. So I have two here is an important number and five is an important number, right? This first term here, let me call it A here and B. So A is going to be positive over here, and so negative over here, and then A is going to be positive over here, and B is going to be negative over here, and then B is positive over here. All right, and so what do I need if I want the product of two numbers to be positive?
They should both be negative or both be positive.
Exactly, there are precisely two cases, and those are the two cases. Either they are both negative or they're both positive. That is exactly what I need. Equivalently here, Right, so I need to be in this regime here or in this regime here, right? So in the regime where they're bigger than five, then they're both positive. In the regime where they're less than two, where x is less than two, then they're both negative, right? So those are the two things I need. X is less than two, or x is bigger than five. So we figured out quite a bit about the ending. All right, so now let's start at with the working forward here. Okay, so what about this? So this is working backward. All right, so now if I want to work forward, so what do I, what can I extract from the fact that x squared is less than or equal to one? Exactly. So I can, or in other words, x is between minus one and one, and there are various ways to see that fact, right? Yeah. Okay. And so, which of these two regimes am I going to be in here? Right, so my x lives here between minus one and one, so it certainly lives here, right? So that's what I want, exactly less than two, so that's what we want. Okay, so this is good. So now we're good. X is less than two. All right, and so I've got I figured out what I want. I want to get x is less than two, and I got x is less than two. Okay, so now I can try to weave those back together into a logical argument. Okay, and then finally into a proof, all right? So, all right, so now we know why it's true. So next, the proof plan. Okay, so we're gonna start with what we know here, which is that x squared is less than or equal to one, and then we wanna prove that it's less than two. So it's enough that it be less than, that x be less than one, and then we get that that's less than two. And then we're gonna use that, and then we're gonna work back up what we, our logic here. Okay, so let's try that proof plan. We will show x squared is less than or equal to one implies x is less than two, then hence x minus two is less than zero, and x minus five is less than zero, hence their product is greater than zero, and hence we will get what we want. Okay, that's the rough outline of the plan. So now we can try to write that in a more careful proof. Okay, so does the rough outline make sense to everyone? Okay, so now let's try to turn that into a proof. All right, so now we're gonna use the same structure we did before. We're going to assume P and then try to prove Q, right? So we have this P implies Q here. X is less than X squared is less than or equal to one, and this is what we want. So we will assume that X is a real number with X squared less than or equal to one. Okay, so just like before, we assume what we're given. Okay, hence. All right, so now what I would like to do is try to prove this fact over here. So this is my little guide over here. The next thing I want is to get that x is less than, where'd it go? Proof plan over here. Yeah, we want to show that x is less than two. So we're gonna try to get that. Okay, and so maybe one way to do that is to take the, square root of both sides, hence the absolute value of x less than or equal to absolute value of x, which is equal to the square root of x squared is less than or equal to the square root of one, which is equal to one. Okay, and that is less than 2. So we have that x is less than 2. All right, so you notice that I didn't just come up with that out of the blue. So if you just read this proof over here, it kind of looks like, okay, so I had to see all that before I could get started. Not true. I start by doing this work over here, okay? And then I assemble it, and then I put it back into this form over here. Does that make sense? So you shouldn't be intimidated by what the final form looks like, that you shouldn't have to be able to see all that when you start. You start by doing all this work over here and then translate it back into this. This is just so that you can follow it at the end. Okay, and so then question 2. Hence, x is less than 5, and x minus 2 is less than 0, and maybe I'll put this separate. It's again a question of structure here. Oops. Lost my writing ability. There we go. All right. Okay, x minus 2 is less than 0, and x minus 5 is less than 0, hence x minus 2 times x minus 5 is less than 0, hence x squared minus 7x plus 10 is less than 0, therefore x squared minus 7x is less than minus 10 QED. That's what we were trying to show. Okay, so that's one way to write that out in a clear way. And once again, the way you did it was to work backward. Are there any questions about that? I'd like to kind of give you guys a chance to try that with an example just so that.
Yeah, can you go over what the first hence statement is saying?
Yeah, okay, so this first one says that so I was trying to figure out how to show that x is less than 2. That was my goal, all right? And the way that I was going to use that, well, I wanted to use this fact, all right? And so what I did was I took the square root of both sides, okay? And so there's the square root of one of them, and there's the square root of the other, okay? And then I decorated it because the square root of the square of a number is just the absolute value of that number.
Okay,
so I did several things, but now I claim that while it might be hard to assemble that in the first place, I claim that it should be easy for the reader to check each step. That's the goal, okay? And so the fact that x is less than absolute value of x, that should be an easy fact for the reader to check, and I think that it is. The fact that the x is equal, absolute value of x is equal to the square root of its square, again, something people can check. And then this one is supposed to follow from here. Now, maybe I should have made it more clear that that's where that came from. That would be possibly a criticism of this write-up.
So okay.
That should have been clear. And then the rest, I hope each one is clear. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, good. Did I write one backward? I might well have written one backward. Let's see. Yes, I did write one backward. Thank you. Thank you. I did write one backward. Let me fix it. So, as pointed out, this should be now bigger than 0. And then this should be, therefore, since they're the same, that should be bigger than 0. And that should be bigger than root 10, which in fact was what was to be shown. I should have checked. In fact, I had shown that I was going to. Okay. And I see a question that was, how did I get x less than 2 again? Did I answer that question already? I see another a similar question in the chat. QED, that's a Q. And it just means it just means that I've gotten to where I wanted to get. it's Latin for that which was to be proved. So it's just an indication that I'm done. Proof is over. Ah, interesting. Can you prove it using the graph? So it would be challenging to prove it using the graph because you'd have to build up a lot of structure for what's true about graphs. However, what the graph could be very helpful for is to do this work over here, this preparation work where you try to figure out what's going on. In fact, I did this all algebraically, but personally, if I hadn't spotted the algebra pretty fast, I would have moved to graphing it, because graphing it, I often find, clarifies what's going on in my mind so that I can figure out what's going on. So this is where graphing would come in handy, is when you're trying to figure out why the statement is true. Much less often would you use it in the proof itself. Actually trying to use a graph in the proof itself is possible, and it does happen, and it can be helpful, but it's complicated to set it up right so that you get it right. So most of the time, algebra is really convenient for proofs because it looks, each step is fairly easy for the reader to check. So that's usually what you want to end up with. Any other questions? I think I will give you an example here to try. Yeah, so here's an example. I'll stop screen break everyone for a second to try to do a similar proof. And I'll give you one that's somewhat similar. Theorem. If X is a real number, so basically I just told you the universe, but then the P implies Q is the key, and the P is going to be X is less than one. And if then, so it implies, and then the Q is going to be X squared plus six is greater than five X. Okay, so is it clear what I want you to do? I want you to take that P implies Q statement, very similar to the one that I just looked at, and try to go through the similar steps that I just did and turn it into a proof. Okay, so let me give you a few minutes in breakout rooms to try that together. Okay, let's see, several rooms are back, not everyone, but right, so did that work? Good, all right. Yeah, I guess everyone's back now. So, right. Let's see. So did someone want to explain the approach that they used, and then someone else can, some from a different room can try to explain how we turned that into a proof, and then we can see if we agree on how much detail is appropriate.
I can explain our
okay. approach. All right.
So we had x squared plus 6 is greater than 5x, and then we subtracted 5x on both sides, then factored, so it became x minus 2 times x minus 3.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And then that meant that x was greater than 3, or x is less than 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because like last time, either both are negative or both are positive.
Exactly. Okay, right.
And if it's less than 2, then it's also less than 1. It satisfies the...
Right, exactly. Yep. So this is the one that you're gonna show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that looks like a good strategy. All right. Okay, and so did someone from a different group then want to say how they took similar, presumably that strategy, and turned it into a proof so that we can sort of agree on which lines are appropriate for a proof?
I can share.
Thank you.
So I started with the given condition that x is less than 1.
Okay.
And then that implies that x is also less than 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then x less than 2 implies that x minus 3 times x minus 2 will be greater than 0. And then that also implies that x squared plus 6 is greater than 5x.
Okay, and that's what you're trying to prove. Very good. Okay, so does everyone agree that those are a good sequence of steps? Each one is sufficiently close together that it's clear to the reader how you get from one to the next. And it works. Okay. All right. Okay, let me try one other thing, which is one of the novelties of the textbook that I'm sort of fond of, which you will now have the opportunity to see in your homework for the rest of the term, which are the bad proofs. Okay, so he has collected bad proofs, and he asks you to grade them, and some of them are actually pretty good, and some are not, and so there's a big mix, and so. Let me just try one. This is taken from the text. So proofs to grade. And so this is an attempt to prove the first assertion that I proved, and this is one that is from the text. So let me just write it down, and then we can think about it a little bit. So I'm going to try to prove the same statement that I started with over here, wherever it went. So if we have an odd number, so theorem, if a is an odd integer, so the same thing that I proved earlier, then a squared plus one is an even one. Okay, the same p implies q statement that we proved earlier. But here is an unfortunate proof. Okay, from the textbook, and it goes as follows. So this is a bad example. Okay, don't get in your notes is a good thing to do. So it starts out with let A, and then it says then by squaring. An odd, we get an odd. An odd, plus an odd, is even. So, A squared plus one is even. Okay, so this is the one of the things that he does in this text, which I think is kind of fun, is to just take a look at some of these and try to critique how that might be let me see, I can find it. Well, I guess I put it on the other side. Oh, here it is. Right. Okay, so it's critique why this might be problematic. Okay, so let's see, we just have 5 minutes, so let's just do this. Without going to breakout rooms. So does anyone see what some problems with this are? I mean, obviously it has a lot, but what might be some problems with this as a proof?
How do you know that by squaring an odd, you'll get an odd? It's not really clear.
Right, that's not clear. And I should point out that that's one reason that I was so careful over on this side to make sure we knew exactly what we meant when we said it's an odd integer. And what we meant is that we have an n that has this property. So we had a very explicit meaning for what it means to be an odd integer so that we can move it as quickly as possible out of just nebulous statements about even and odd, and we can get it right into a formula. That's why I have that. So you don't have problems like that. Okay, any other problems that people spot with this one? So let me just start this as a reader. My first annoyance would be that this very first object, what is this thing? Well, what is it not? It is not a sentence. It doesn't say anything. It says it's not at all clear what it is, what it means. If you're going to say something like that, you need to say, you know, let it be a whatever, you know. So it's fine. It should be closer to what I've written over here. Assume the day is not an integer. You could use let, that's fine, but it would be let a be a, so we have a verb, odd integer. Okay, I don't know what that is, but it's not useful to the reader, okay? So those are the kinds of problems I would want. And once again, you know, even this one is gonna have the same sort of issue that number one did. And once again, it's because they didn't try to translate it back into some explicit meaning of what it is. So three is similarly a problem. Okay, so those are sort of direct assertions. Now, sometimes you have that direct assertion already given. So if you know, earlier on the page, one had proven one of these statements, then it would be fine to use it, right? So partly I'd have to know exactly what they had written earlier on their page, right? But at this point, there's no particular reason to believe those statements. So anyway, so that's kind of tearing apart one of those clues. And in the homework, there will be more of those to do. Of course, the idea is to try to avoid those errors yourself. Anyway, out of time, but that's what we're gonna be doing for the rest of the week. And I strongly encourage you, where did I put it here, to go and read this introduction here. It's just four pages, and it's really, I think, clarifies what we're aiming for in this class. Is these how to structure a proof. The rest of 1.7 is good too, but we'll get to that in time. Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna stick around now for half an hour. Feel free to ask questions, and I'm turning off the recording now.